open a committee on House Business and Labor, and open a, we have some bill introductions. Open a work session for the purposes of making LC 1529 into a bill.
Mr. Chair, committee members, in front of you have LC 1529. It requires certain employers to compensate nurses providing home health care services and hospice services on an hourly basis.
Very good. Do I have a motion for this?
Mr. Chair, I move LC, forgot what the number, LC on the table, to be introduced as a committee bill.
Very good. Representative Hovey moves legislative concept 1529 to be introduced as a committee bill. Is there any discussion or questions or concerns? Is there any opposition? All right, seeing none, will be it. I'm going to close the work session at the same time, and I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2247.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 2247 allows the Liquor Control Commission to suspend or refuse to renew a liquor license if the licensee fails to comply with the liability insurance or surety bond requirements. The measure also establishes that the failure to provide proof of compliance at the time of the license renewal or upon the request of the commission as a reason for immediate suspension or refusal to renew the license.
Thank you. And we have these nice people that came up to talk to us about it. So go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Tom Irwin. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, so I'll be doing most of the legislative liaison work with these representatives during the session. With me today are the subject matter experts and our distinguished staff to talk about each of these particular bills. I'll just be up here in case there's some additional questions that I might be able to help assist them with, but I'm sure that they'll be all by themselves. So mainly I'm up here just to make sure that you know who I am when I come by to visit you. So I'll just turn it over to Linda Gnowski, who's the Regulatory Services Director, and she'll be talking about House Bill 2247.
Thank you. Chairman, members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to come before you today and to speak to you in response on House Bill 2247. I'm Linda Gnowski, the Regulatory Services Division Director for the Commission. And I'm here to provide testimony on House Bill 2247. What this bill is proposing to do is to amend our statute 471-168 to allow the Liquor Commission to impose an immediate suspension, in other words, to stop the sale of service and alcohol if someone does not maintain the liquor liability insurance requirement or have a surety bond of $300,000 that's required by statute. Some background on this one. Currently, ORS 471-168 requires that certain licensees maintain liquor liability insurance or a surety bond of $300,000. The type of licensees that are required are those who serve alcohol by the drink on premises. Examples of those are what we call a full on premises license, which is required. They can sell distilled spirits, wine, and beer by the drink. Limited on premises, which can sell beer and wine. A brewery house license are required to have this. Also, wineries, breweries, and grower sales license have to have liquor liability if they serve alcohol for consumption on their licensed premises. They also would have to have liquor liability insurance by statute. Additionally, anybody who has a temporary sales license, whether their temporary event is open to the public and they expect an attendance of over 300 people per day, they are also required to have liquor liability insurance. This requirement is set by statute and really is there to provide insurance coverage for injuries that may result from overservice of alcoholic beverage to visibly intoxicated persons that are coming from or have been served from a licensed establishment. So it's really a protection for a business in case somebody is injured from an accident from someone who is coming from a licensed premises. All licensees subject to this are required to show proof to us at the time of licensing and the time of renewal. They are required to show this to it. We have currently, the Oregon law does not provide the ability to immediately suspend somebody if they do not maintain the liquor liability. And what the current process is that it is a violation. So if we find a licensee who does not have liquor liability insurance, and the insurance companies notify us automatically if somebody is has lost their liability insurance or the lack of payment or they've canceled them, that insurance companies notify us. It is a violation. It's a cancelable violation. It's a Category 1, and we go for a violation on that. Many of them, it's a lack of just paying attention, and then they obtain it somehow, then we back off and the violation is not cancellation. But some of them just can't afford it, or nobody will insure them, and so it is a cancelable offense. It has to go through an administrative process, through the APA process. Sometimes it takes up to 8 to 9 months to go through the whole process. So you'll have licensees who are serving and selling alcohol for up to maybe nine to 10 months without any insurance while it goes through the administrative process. We feel it's important that if somebody doesn't have this insurance that they shouldn't be selling alcohol until they do and maintain it. It's similar to, you have to show proof when you get a license for your car, that you have to show proof of insurance, that this is insurance for and protection for the business. So this bill, we're proposing to add to the provision of ORS 471-168, a provision to allow us to immediately suspend somebody's liquor license until they are, if they do not have the liquor liability insurance, a surety bond, until they resolve it. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
And thank you for that background, and I want that kind of background in these scenarios for all these bills today. But on the scenario you spelled out where someone has been current, how many businesses in the recent past have been selling without insurance while it's going through the process? How many businesses in Oregon are we talking about here?
I can give you that. We have about 10 to 11,000 retail premises that would fall in this category. We have followed through in five actual violation cases. Three of those were canceled, and two of them one paid the fine and obtained liquor liability insurance. The other one is still in process right now.
What were the reasons for the three that you let that you canceled? What were the reasons for canceling them, or what are the two that are going through the process now?
Well, the one
you have that on top of your head.
Well, I have a few of them on top of my head. One of them is still in the process, going through the hearings process, so that one hasn't been resolved yet. I know one of them was not able to obtain liquor liability insurance. I know it is harder for there's fewer carriers of liquor liability insurance, and I know it's very expensive. And so some of them just can't afford it, and the cost goes up depending upon their violation history.
And look, if they can't afford it, or for some reason they can't obtain it, I can appreciate that. And five out of all those thousands, I just wanted to know, because I don't want to be playing gotcha with small businesses. Yeah. I want to make sure we're not driving people out or being so rigid that they can't do business. But I think those numbers satisfy me. Any questions of these good folks? Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just curious about the amount of the liability insurance is $300,000 and the bond is $300,000. I'm curious, when was the last time that was raised?
Chairman Schaffler, Representative Hobley, I don't remember when it was ever raised. It's probably stayed the same. I've been with the commission for 13 years and it's never been changed, so it's maintained the same.
Follow up?
Yes, sir.
I'm curious, are you aware of situations where this insurance has been accessed and hasn't been enough to cover the claim?
Chairman Schaffler, Representative Hobley, I can't answer that question. I usually don't follow up on the civil suits, so I can't tell you if it's covered it or not.
She wouldn't know.
Representative Hobley, please go ahead.
I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Kennemer, please.
So you learn of these violations by virtue of the insurance companies notifying you. That's relatively fail-safe process.
Chairman Schaffler, Representative Kennemer, yes.
Okay.
The license is required to name us on their policy as notification, so that is required by the insurance company to notify us.
I just want to confirm you get notified rather than having to search this out.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good, thank you.
Any further questions? Okay, and you guys can just stay there if you're Tom, especially.
Thank
you. Oh, just real quick. Wait a minute, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Just want to make sure that so you get notified that a licensee's insurance has elapsed or no longer. Tom, can you just describe for the committee the process, if this law passes, the process that you would go through, i.e. like a mortgage, my mortgage company notifies me they haven't got, or a landlord notifies me they don't have liability insurance for my particular lease and gives me some time to do that. This passes, tell me how that process would work.
Chairman Schaffler, Representative Cameron, what we usually do is we get a notification from the insurance company. We will call the licensees to verify, because sometimes in between the time that we get the notice from the insurance company and the licensee has already rectified the situation, and so before we take any action, we verify with the licensee that this is true, that they haven't got it, or what the process is. And so we give some leniency if they've already done it in the process, or they've almost got it done. If they say they can't obtain it, we will launch an investigation into it. The immediate suspension would happen fairly quickly because it's kind of black and white. You either have it or you don't have it. And it would go through a process, and we would charge this. They would have an opportunity to rectify this. If not, then the commission would suspend the license in it. And what if they can prove to us, we're thinking that if they can prove to us they obtained it within the process, then we would back away from the immediate, so we would take away the immediate suspension. We probably will go forward with a violation dependent upon the circumstances, but they probably wouldn't lose their license.
Thank you. Representative Holby, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to follow up with my line of questioning just a little bit longer. I don't have a problem with this bill, but I do have a concern that I just like to hear about whether this liability insurance is adequate. Recently, a little less than a week ago, and I'm not going to bring up any accusations, but it was reported that someone left a bar in Representative Edwards' district and killed four people in my district, running a red light and killing some children and teachers. And so I'm just wondering, you know, whether that liability insurance is adequate in cases like that. So I would request that the OLCC or whoever can get me that information on the civil cases that have gone forward, whether the amounts of that have been paid out of the liability insurance were adequate.
And Chair Schaffler and Representative Holby, I'll definitely endeavor to try to capture that information and get it to Teresa so that she can share it with the committee as quickly as possible. If it's doable, I can do it. I'll contact the insurance division, and we probably have some other contacts we have that we can make.
Thank you.
I'll be glad to do that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cameron, please.
I guess I have another question. You talked about the suspension as immediate, but obviously it's not. What is immediate? And also, what's the nature of the fine, particularly if you're, you know, and I don't know, these people cause this usually not payment rather than some, okay.
Chairman Schaffler, Representative Cameron, yeah, you're right, immediate is not like right now. We have to do a process. We have to, you know, make sure we've got the facts. We write it up, and so we have a process. A normal immediate suspension for a history case, someone who has a lot of fights and people getting killed and stuff, takes probably 3 to 4 days. This one will probably happen a little faster just because you don't have such an investigation of police reports and stuff like that. So I would imagine this could happen in about 2 to 3 days.
And, Mr. Chairman, another question.
Yeah, please.
And regarding the fine, is it an automatic fine if your insurance company cancels or you miss a payment?
Chairman Schaffler, Representative Kenner, the penalty for not carrying liquor liability insurance currently is there is no fine. It's a cancellation. It's, that's what it is.
But you said there were fines.
Right, and sometimes we do a settlement on those that we go down from a cancellation to they pay a fine, or they serve a suspension, or they serve a fine and a suspension. We come down from a cancellation.
and ballpark on those fines?
Pardon?
Estimates of the fines.
Much the fine would be.
Chairman Schaffler, Representative Kenner, it can range from find it is $5,000 or $49.50, so it could range from probably $1,650, $1,100 to $49. Usually it's somewhere in between those.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Very good. Thank you very much. Anyone else want to testify to this bill today? All right. Seeing no one, I'm going to close public hearing on House Bill 2247. And members, we have impact statements on most of these bills, all but one, I think.
Two.
All but two. And I have, in my experience, people keep a pretty good eye on this stuff, and I have not heard any opposition to any of this stuff. So I intend to work all the bills that have a fiscal impact statement. So please look at them. And be satisfied with what we're going to do today. If not, speak up and vote your heart. I'm going to open a public work session on House Bill 2247, and I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2247 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cameron has moved House Bill 2247 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? All right, then. So moved. Do the members think this merits a floor discussion, or should we go to consent calendar? I am at your Representative Escobar.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I don't think that you could get a discussion much on this one.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't have any problem putting it on a consent calendar if you folks are happy with that, or would you like to hear it for?
I'm indifferent. There are certainly some members of the legislature that
don't like the consent calendar.
Well, that like to scrub anything that has to do with OLCC.
That's
so.
A very good point. Rather volunteer.
I don't care one way or the other. I mean,
Representative Cameron will carry the bill. This work session on House Bill 2247, and I'll be right back. So, Representative.
We'll open public hearing on House Bill 2248.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 2248 allows the Liquor Control Commission to deny an additional retail license to the person based upon the licensee's poor compliance record with liquor laws relating to the sale of alcoholic beverages to minors. There is no revenue impact, and we are waiting for the fiscal impact statement on this.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. Again, for the record, my name is Tom Irwin. I'm the Government Affairs Director at the Legislative Liaison for OLCC with the Legislature. And with me this morning is Donna Vandal. Donna is the Technical Services Coordinator. That's the expert on this particular bill and the next couple of bills, I think, also. So she'll be speaking to the bills. I'll just be here to answer additional questions if I'm helpful on that regard. So I'll turn it over to Donna.
Ms. Vandal.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Donna Vandal. I'm the Technical Services Coordinator for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. And I appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 2248. This bill amends the statute that authorizes the OLCC to establish a responsible vendor program. And the bill would permit the OLCC to refuse to issue additional liquor licenses to a licensee who is a member of the responsible vendor program if that licensee has a poor record of selling alcohol to minors under its current licenses. Currently, the OLCC does not have this ability. By way of background, the Responsible Vendor Program was established by statute in 1999, and retail licensees who choose to join this program agree to take specific steps to reduce the likelihood of selling alcohol to a minor, such as adopting house policies for checking ID, posting signs in their businesses prohibiting sales to minors, and providing frequent training to their staff on what the law requires. In exchange for following the program standards, participants receive reduced penalties, such as fines or suspensions, for any sale to minor violations they might commit, and they're also protected from having their liquor license canceled or not renewed at their existing businesses for sale to minor violations, and under current law, they cannot be denied additional licenses for new businesses based on these violations. For licensees who are not in the responsible vendor program, the commission may refuse to issue a license if the applicant did not have a good record of compliance with the alcoholic liquor laws of the state and the rules of the commission. This means that if a licensee has had several past violations for selling alcohol to minors, even at different locations, this can be grounds to deny a renewal license or an additional license to that licensee. However, the OLCC is prohibited from taking this action when the applicant is a member of the Responsible Vendor Program. Under this bill, members of the Responsible Vendor Program would continue to be protected from license cancellation or non-renewal of their existing licenses for sales to minors. However, the Commission would be able to refuse to give additional new licenses to a member with a poor compliance record. In summary, the current language of the Responsible Vendor Program statute allows a retail licensee who commits serious violations to be issued additional retail licenses. This bill will allow a retail licensee to renew its existing licenses but not be eligible to receive additional liquor licenses if they have a poor record of sales to minors during the 2 years preceding the application for an additional license. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a question. I just want to kind of summarize this in a moment so it's clear in my mind. So if somebody had multiple stores and they were part of the Responsible Vendor Program, let's say they have an employee working at one of those stores that's somebody's big brother. They sell to minors. What you're saying basically is that they wouldn't lose their license. They would just lose the ability to apply for a new location if they fell into this program. But they couldn't lose their license based on if they were being responsible, but they had an irresponsible employee. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Representative Matthews, that is exactly correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah,
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this new licenses for new locations, or once the existing license expires, a renewal of the existing license?
Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, it is only the additional licenses. They would continue to be allowed to renew their existing licenses.
Yeah. Any further questions? Thank you. Any other testimony for House Bill 2248 today? Okay. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2248. And we go to 2249.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Committee members, House Bill 2249 allows the Liquor Control Commission to refuse a service permit if the applicant makes false statements to the commission and can revoke or suspend a service permit or impose a civil penalty if the permittee makes false statements to the commission. There's no revenue or fiscal impact on the measure.
Let me open a public hearing on House Bill 2249. And same witnesses.
Again, good morning, and for the record, my name is Donna Vandal. I'm the Technical Services Coordinator for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, and I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2249. House Bill 2249 amends two statutes that establish the grounds for refusing to grant a service permit and for revoking or suspending a service permit. And as background, the people who are required to have a service permit are those individuals whose job duties include selling or serving alcohol at a licensed business. That's individuals such as bartenders, servers, wait staff, and anybody who supervises those people in their alcohol-related duties. Those individuals are required to have a service permit. Currently, the service permit statutes authorize the commission to refuse to grant a service permit or to revoke a service revoke or suspend a service permit only for false statements that were made on the service permit application form. The commission is not able to take action against the service permittee for false statements made to the commission in other circumstances, such as statements made by the permittee during an investigation of liquor law violations or in other documents submitted to the commission. By contrast, the statutes that authorize the commission to deny or revoke or suspend a liquor license authorize those actions against the licensee if the licensee has made false statements to the commission, period. So this allows the commission to take action against a licensee who has made false statements during an interview with commission staff, for example, or during an investigation of possible liquor law violations. This bill would put the two statutes that deal with service permits in line with the criteria that apply to liquor licenses. If this bill is enacted, the Commission will be able to take action on a service permit when an applicant or a service permittee has made false statements to the Commission other than on the service permit application itself. And if this bill is not enacted, the Commission remains limited in its ability to ensure that service permittees communicate truthfully and honestly with the Commission while they apply for or hold the service permit privilege. We request your support of this bill, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee members? Representative Thatcher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Excuse me. Now, this has to do with the individual applicant, the waitress or waiter, okay? And under what situation would you decide to impose a civil fine, and how much would those be?
Mr. Chair, Representative Thatcher, typically the penalty for a false statement, again, it can depend on the seriousness and whether it was repeated, things like that. Typically, that is a Category 2 violation, I believe. We're looking at a possible suspension of up to 30 days or perhaps a fine of around maybe $500 or less.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll close a public hearing on House Bill 2249. And members, if you have no problems, I'm going to go ahead and open a work session and move this bill. We have a fiscal impact statement.
There's none. We're ready to go.
Okay, open a work session on House Bill 2249. And any discussion? Okay, clerk will call the roll.
We need a motion. Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, I will make a motion that we send House Bill 2249 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Escobar makes a motion that we send it to 2249 to the House floor with recommendation, with a due pass recommendation. Consent calendar again?
Mr. Chair, we do have to make the motion to vote on the bill, then we do the motion for consent calendar.
Kirk, call the roll.
Representative Edwards.
Aye.
Representative Escobar.
Aye.
Representative Holdy.
Aye.
Representative Holdy.
Aye.
Representative Matthews.
Aye.
Representative Thatcher.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Barnes.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cameron.
Aye. Maybe on the advice of the previous bill, we should just let this go as we've determined already. So who wants to carry this one on the House floor?
I'll carry it for you, Mr.
Okay, so we haven't closed the work session. You want to wait until the church off the convention?
No.
I wouldn't wait for you. Well, you're holding
absent.
Gavel, Mr.
Absent.
Go ahead. You get a chance to vote aye.
Oh, I vote aye.
Okay. Close a work session on 2249, and who would like to carry this bill?
I'll carry it for you.
All right. Representative Escobar. We're on
get out of the way, we move things around here.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's showing up around here. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2250.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 2250 does a number of statutory clarifications in circumstances in which a person holds two different types of liquor licenses. Amongst the provisions in the measure, it clarifies that a brewery public house licensee who holds a distillery license can also be an approved retail agent for the purposes of selling liquor that's manufactured by the distillery, and also clarifies language regarding tasting locations for a distillery licensee. There is no fiscal impact, but we are waiting for the revenue impact statement on this.
Okay. Go ahead, folks.
Thank you. Again, for the record, my name is Donna Vandal. I'm the Technical Services Coordinator for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 2250. This bill makes a number of technical corrections to our distillery license statute, which is ORS 471-230, and to related provisions of the brewery public house and winery license statutes, in order to eliminate inconsistent terminology, clarify terms, and clarify concepts relating to distillery privileges. The bill also eliminates a potential conflict in the statutes that could be construed to prohibit a distillery retail outlet agency from having an interest in a distillery, even though the statute specifically allows a distillery to be appointed as a retail agent. Just by way of background, the distillery license statute was amended in 2007 to expand the privileges available to Oregon distilleries, including allowing distilleries to provide sample tastings at their premises and to obtain an additional license to operate a full-service restaurant at the distillery. This bill clarifies some inconsistencies that had resulted from prior amendments to the distillery license statute and related statutes. It also reflects changes in terminology and practice, including establishment by the Liquor Commission of a separate category of distillery retail outlet agents who sell only products manufactured by the particular distillery. The bill does not alter the privileges currently available to distilleries, wineries, or brew pubs. The specific changes that this bill makes, it clarifies the number and location, the number of locations where distilleries can conduct tastings. It revises terminology to distinguish between retail sales agents, who are our regular full-service liquor stores, and distillery retail outlet agents, who are agents for the products of a particular distillery and are located at that distillery. It changes the term distilled to manufactured in the statute. It clarifies that a brewery public house licensee that also holds a distillery license may become a distillery retail outlet agent, and clarifies that a distillery licensee that also holds a winery license may hold a full on-premises license. The bill also amends ORS 471710 regarding retail agents to update language to reflect the current terminology and practice, and clarify that the prohibitions in that statute do not apply to a distillery retail outlet agent appointed by the commission. In summary, this bill provides additional clarification to licensees, applicants for licenses or agent contracts, commission staff, and others who may be applying for these distillery license privileges. It does not change the current policy, but it does eliminate some confusion and thus may make it easier to process applications and address questions from licensees or applicants. Are there any questions?
Representative Cameron.
How many retail outlet distilleries are there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kinnamer, at this point, I'm not sure how many of our distilleries have been appointed as agent to have agency contracts in order to sell their distilled spirits products. I believe that most of them have, but there's not a large number of licensed distilleries.
It's a small number.
A small number, yes.
And I have a question here, too, and it may be self-explanatory, but the difference between a retail sales agent and a distillery retail outlet agent.
Yes, Mr. Chair. We used to call them all retail agents, but our retail services program has developed a separate contract that, again, the distillery outlet agents only sell the products manufactured by that distillery.
Okay.
The retail agents are your typical liquor store.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any further questions?
Only in Oregon.
Only in Oregon is that? Well, we pride ourselves on being unique, even though sometimes it does get in the way. Maybe not here, but one of the areas of the law that drive me to distraction. forgive me for digressing. Any further questions of these good people? All righty then. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Anyone else want to testify on this bill today? Then I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2250 and open a work session on House Bill.
We can't do that, Mr. Chair.
Close the work session. No work session. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2251.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 2251 clarifies how a service permit applicant can obtain an application endorsement from a Liquor Control Commission employee. There is no revenue or fiscal impact on the measure.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Mr. Chair, thank you. My name is Dan McNeil. I am the statewide licensing manager for OLCC, and I appreciate this chance to testify on behalf of House Bill 2251. This measure does deal with the endorsement of service permit applications. I think, as you heard earlier, a service permit is really a permit that somebody who is a waitress, bartender, or alcohol server, an individual server, has to have in order to serve alcohol in Oregon. Part of the process for getting a service permit includes filling out an application for a permit, and part of that application includes an endorsement of the permit. The purpose of that endorsement is so that somebody other than the person filling out the application actually verifies the age and identity of the person filling out that permit application. So we've got a second set of eyes looking at who this person is. Now, currently in Oregon law, there are four people that can endorse that service permit application. It can be endorsed by a licensee of the commission, that's a business owner. It can be endorsed by a temporary employment agency that's approved by the commission. These are typically employment agencies that provide temporary servers for events. They can be approved, endorsed by a alcohol server education provider. That alcohol server education is a required part of ultimately being issued a permit. And finally, OLCC-designated staff are allowed to endorse those applications. The only difference between the rest and the OLCC employees is that there are constraints in the law currently that say that an OLCC employee can only endorse that application if we verify that the person is not employed, we verify that the person has already taken our alcohol server education class, and verify that they've already passed the exam. That same constraint doesn't apply to the other people that can endorse these applications. And so what we're asking is that you pass this bill, which amends the law to allow OLCC employees to endorse applications without those constraints applying. We really see this as a public service and customer service measure. Currently, people may come into our office to have their application endorsed. They take the bus to get in. They take time out of their day. They get there, and because of the constraints in the law, we find out that they haven't taken and passed that class yet, and we can't endorse that application and have to send them on their way. And we'd like to be able to provide that service to them. Now, by way of background, the reason why the constraint is in the law is that it was put in the law in 2001, the last time the law was amended. Prior to that, the only way you could get a service permit from OLCC was to actually go to work for somebody that had a bar, tavern, or restaurant, and they had to actually employ you and sign the application at that time. The law was opened up in 2001 to allow other people to endorse the application to provide better service. It also came about because we had some questions from people who said, hey, I'd like to make myself more marketable in the marketplace, and having a service permit would be one of those things that would make me more marketable. How can I do that if I'm required to have a job before I get the permit? So the legislature felt that that was a good reason to amend the law. They put the constraints in for concerns about how much volume businesses would drive and whether or not that might tax our resources. We found in the years that this has been in effect, we don't have that many people that really come into our office to get their endorsement. It hasn't really been an impact on staff. And because of that, we'd really like to provide that service of being able to endorse the applications for anybody that comes through. Now, even with this change, to get issued the permit, somebody who's applying for the service permit will still have to take the alcohol server education course. One of the conditions on the permit is that once you have the endorsed permit, you can go to work for somebody, and you can go up to 45 days after filing your application before you have to take that class, and that's just to give people time to take the class that they need to take. So just in summary, this is just a customer service measure. We think it will allow us to provide better service to our customers, and we hope that you pass this.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll take questions.
And I don't want to be a troublemaker. It makes perfect sense to me, but the bill says endorse, and your
thank you, Mr.
Testimony
Chair.
Says endorse, and the whole body got a thorough education on these two words the other day at the expense of my friend to my right here. So yes. Just want to clarify that for everybody because it's going in the bill file. Please.
Excuse me, so which is the correct...
Well, whatever's in the bill is what's going into the law.
I would go with that rather than
okay.
What would pass through my bill checker.
Well, so. That's what's going into the law if we pass the bill, so I just wanted to clarify that.
Mr. Chair, I've learned that no matter what, LC is always right.
They will be.
In no circumstances, I might suggest otherwise.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chair, just to clarify, if I may, I'm a little unclear. So I can't go sit down at my computer today and take the OLCC permit class without an endorsement prior to that by somebody else?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cameron, actually the test is separate from the endorsed application. You can take the alcohol server education class online and take the test online. That doesn't require an endorsement from OLCC or from an employer. So the person that takes the test in the class can actually do that up to 2 years under the current law before they apply for their service permit. There is essentially a proxy function that happens with the online class. When somebody does take the class online, that they have to have someone sign off that they were the person that took that, but that can be just another person in the room with them. It doesn't have to be an official of any capacity. But they would still need the endorsement on the application in order to get the permit.
They currently need that anyway. You're expanding
right. Who
can provide
the
endorsement.
We're just expanding the circumstances under which they can the application can be endorsed.
Not making it more difficult, making it more customer friendly. Correct,
Mr. Chair. That is correct.
Good. It's a foggy Wednesday morning. Right?
I had the same question
in Britain.
Welcome to my world, Mr. Vice Chair.
So
you had the same question. I'm glad I asked it for you.
So we're talking about two different.
I was getting there.
We're talking about. I just want to be clear. We're talking about two different processes. The class that I either physically go to or take online,
Mr. Chair,
is separate. And I know there's a fee for that, and then there's also a fee to send in my application to the OLCC to actually get my card.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Cameron, yes, those are two separate processes.
And I don't want to open a can of worms here, but have we ever looked at that? Never mind. I'll withdraw my question.
You want to raise the fee?
No.
Or combine the two. Combine the two to one fee. And look, Representative, that's what we're here to do, to try and streamline and help people be more customer friendly.
So we will be open to that idea, deliberate that concept when it comes before us. Love to see it. And we have done things like that in the past over the license, which you have a lottery and a liquor license. So we have done that condensing to help the retailers and businesses in Oregon. Any further questions of these fine people? All righty then. I'm going to. Anyone else? Thanks, guys. Anyone else want to testify on behalf of this bill or against this bill? Then I'm going to. Well, we have this one.
Yes, please.
Close public hearing on House Bill 2251, and open work session on House Bill 2251. And I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2251 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Edwards moves House Bill 2251 to the floor with due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Is there any opposition to this bill here? Well then, so moved. Representative Edwards, have you been assigned anything yet this
I'd
year?
I'd love to carry this.
Very good. Thank you very much, sir. I'm going to close the work session, House Bill 2251. And is there anything else?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Actually, with your permission, Kim, I should be getting the fiscal impact analysis on House Bill 2248 later today. So we can carry that for a work session on Friday if you can make an announcement.
That sounds good to me.
Okay, then we'll make it happen.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order? All right, we're adjourned.